Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Yo, yo, what's poppin'?
Yo, what's poppin'?
We are back in the building. What's up?
Live and in full effect.
I'm your boy, Pastor J.
I'm your girl, Lady Free.
And Zany, y'all.
Hey, y'all,
and
we
Zany.
Are back. No, it's Zany.
She went into harmony with that. Zany.
Right? Y'all, thank you for joining us here on Shift Real Talk. We are here to talk about some real raw truths and uncover some knowledge.
Yes.
When it comes down to love, life, and relationships. Sometimes it's going to be edgy. Sometimes it's going to be gritty, but it's always going to be no cap.
Yes,
because we're coming
yes.
to change lives and shift some situations, y'all.
Come on here.
So we are
that was
here.
Dope. That wasn't even rehearsed. Look at that. That was up. That's what's up. Okay, cool.
I can't with him.
She had to look like I could punch him.
I was on a roll and he just bada. So yeah, we are here in the house, y'all, with Shift Real Talk. If this is your first time, make sure you just, first of all, enjoy the content.
Yes,
get
enjoy
some
it.
For yourself.
Mm-hmm.
After which, when you see that you have received and you ate from the table, go ahead and share this content with somebody else.
You
make sure that you
today.
Like it. Make sure that you go ahead and subscribe. We need you to hit that little notification bell.
She's trying to get an offering
later.
We
need you to come back, boo. Okay.
She's trying to get an offering later. She said, eat from the table.
But
come
turn
on.
Turn your volume down.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we just talked about this. Turn your volume down.
Yes, mommy.
See, that's what happens now. Don't listen to me now. So listen, today we talk about wifey with no commitment.
Oh, my bad.
See, that's you, me. That's you.
That was me that time.
Okay.
See that? We getting it together, y'all. You know
but y'all,
what I'm
like I said, we talking about
wifey
with no commitment.
Yes.
Hey, she's a special friend.
She's a special friend. You know, somebody's loud. Who's
yeah.
that? But anyway, let's not move me. On. Let's move on. We got a dope show ahead of y'all.
Yeah.
Let's couple of shout outs. Hey Evie, how you doing? My sister's
me.
On. My baby girl, I love you so much, Latisse Moore. So
hey,
we thank
tees.
You. We thank you, my baby girl, my baby sister. That's my baby
yes,
sis.
Yes, yes.
I love her to death. I love her to life, not to death.
Hey, babe.
But anyway, y'all, listen, man. We this topic came, man, because we noticed that there are a lot of people who are settling for situations living together.
Hmm.
And I say settle because people feel like, okay, once we are living together, we pretty much married. You know, this is the thing. We're pretty much married. This is where we are. You know, we ain't got to go get the paper because that ain't nothing but a piece of paper. So we pretty much married. And that is a level, they don't even realize that is a level of settling because there is still the open door policy. There's a wide open door policy. You know what that means? That at any point in time, I could just leave this with no commitment.
None.
With no commitment. With nothing attached. We have nothing together. We didn't build nothing. But what we did was we came into the sanction and played house. We played marriage. We played.
Actually, something was built. Trust me, even when they say the mind is the devil's playground. If it's his workshop, if it's his workshop, trust, he's going to build something. So something is being built when you end up with the wifey situation. But what is not happening is you're not being able to have the opportunity to be chosen.
That's right.
It feels so good as a woman to know that you chose me. I'm chosen.
Let me say something real quick. Tell my sister had to curse her husband. I'm so sorry, Fred. She is not a Moor anymore. I'm so sorry. Excuse me.
That's right. That's right.
Excuse me, Fred. Forgive me. You know what I mean? Habit. False habit. Okay. Where we go. Let's move.
Okay.
Okay. So explain to me today. You was telling me about what the difference between wife and wifey is. Tell us right. about that.
So.
Come on, son. Then we can delve the conversation from there.
In my opinion, wifey and wife are two different positions.
Come on.
Wife is a helper. She's a woman that has been, first of all, what was the first thing God did after he made woman in her own beauty? He paraded her in front of Adam and allowed her to be chosen as woman. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. That's the very first thing that happened with Eve. She was chosen mm-hmm. by Adam. Now, when a wife is helping her man, what she's doing is she's undergirding him. She's in submission. She's coming under his mission when he's falling short. This is a man that's walking in destiny. This is a man that understands purpose. So she's helping him with his purpose. A wifey, the end of the only thing that's different about wife in the word in wifey is fee. She's paying something. She's paying to be seen by a man that may never see her. Mm. What is she paying? She's paying wifely duties. She's paying submitting to a man that is not her husband. She's paying her value to constantly stay with someone who has become comfortable in a bed of his own excuses and the excuses that he's giving to her to help him stay safe and not commit to her. In my opinion. So she's paying to be seen by him. She's paying to be accepted by him. And she's accepting a lot of things that she normally would not accept just so she can be the best wifey she can be so he could choose her. And that's my rendition.
Whoa.
What do you have to say about that, Zania?
So in the context of what we're speaking, mm-hmm. let's talk about the E on wife. Whenever we talk about, like, we have to add ish or e or something like that at the end of the word, we're saying it's like whatever the word is before it.
Mm-hmm.
So then when we're saying, you know, in the context we're speaking, when we say wifey, the difference is she's in a position and doing the things that would be expected of a wife without the title.
Come on.
She would never get, in most cases, in a lot of cases, she would never get the commitment that the wife would. Nope. Because as long as, like the old people used to say, as long as I can get the milk, I mean, as long as I can get the milk for free, why would I need the cow?
Why would you buy it? Right.
Yes. They say, you know, like if the president, like something happened to the president, then they have another person that comes in as the acting.
The interim, come on.
The acting president.
Yeah.
Or the acting. So in other words, it's an act. You know, so you are not right. the original. You are in place yeah. of, you know Ooh. What I'm saying? But you can't be in place of a position that was never meant to be. You know what I'm saying?
It wasn't meant to be that played with like that.
It was never meant to be an acting position. It's actually not even a position. It's a role. It's a duty. Mm. It's a responsibility. Mm. Marriage is a responsibility. It is not the act of or the form or the in place of. It has never been designed to be that in the first place.
Yeah.
And what happens is, let me say this real quick, y'all. What happens is a lot of us we have desires.
Right.
And our desires come from the fact that we really desire something. We want something in life. You know what I'm saying? And when we really don't allow God to fulfill those desires, what we do is we improvise those desires for certain things because we are trying to fulfill a need in our life.
Right.
So when we try to fulfill the need in our own life, when God said, I will supply every need according to his riches and glory. But when we go and supplement that and replace that with a desired need, then what we do is we put something in the place of what we feel that's going to fulfill where we are at the time. So a lot of us get in situations desiring to just live, this desiring to say, I need you to be this for me.
Yeah.
That is I need you to be this for me. So we are in situations fulfilling a need to be felt, validated. We need to be filled. You know, we don't like to be rejected. Right. We don't like to be or feeling, you know, and these are abandoned, things that we, yeah, we don't like to be abandoned. And these are things that we grow up and we attain these things from, you know, whatever situation or relationship that we.
From youth.
Yeah, from youth.
Because those unhealthy habits come from youth when we're told, like, for instance, when my baby was two, I already had people talking about, ooh, y'all gonna have to fight the boys off for her. Or you have a boyfriend. When she started school, you have a boyfriend. And I had to cut it off. You're gonna cut that off right now.
Yeah.
Because it's the expectations that's set, even though it's not taught. But because it keep being spoken, then it becomes like a desire, like, should I have one?
Yeah.
It's normal to have a boyfriend. Yeah. Or even the desire to be married. You know, it's you see it everywhere on TV. So young little girls grow up and they're desiring to have that big old wedding and
absolutely
this wonderful, beautiful marriage. And then men thinking, you know, here's my expectation for a wife based on whatever they saw and whatever they were told.
Yes.
So that expectation literally and that desire comes from childhood. And so here women are just putting aside everything, their better thoughts of the situation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're saying, okay, because I have what looks like, you know, what I desire. Or even the fact that they're thinking in the future, like, I can make this be what I desire. They take on a role or responsibility without even having the title.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask y'all this, and this is some women that's chiming in. I want to ask you women this, because I see it happen a lot. Why do you women feel the need to help a young man that you may be dating or desiring to date, allow him to move in to now get on his feet?
What?
So you allow a man that you may be dating or, you know, or maybe desiring to date, or you may not even be dating him. You may just be kicking it with him, and he needs a place to stay. And because he needs a place to stay, that means he's not on his feet. So what we as women, which I do, I see happen a lot. What you women do is you will allow him to move in with you until he gets on his feet. And then you would carry him, and he's in the house doing whatever he's doing, but you will carry this man until he gets on his feet. Why do women do that?
I think it still goes back to what I just said. I think it still goes back to
like
women seeing what it could be, what it can grow to be. If I help him, let me just help him, and he can become, because that might be like the only thing they don't see that they don't like about him, but they don't realize it's deeper than just the surface.
Yeah.
So they're looking at the surface level, like, yeah, he on his grind, I'll help him get on his feet, but they don't see all the other stuff that's going on with him, and they ignore that. And then they take them in and help because of what they think that it can be in the future.
And I also think that it is when young girls grow up in a broken home, the only man that she knows that she still loves, regardless of what kind of man mommy says he is, he's a broken man. So what she does is she goes out and finds that man.
Yeah.
And instead of putting him out, or instead of trying to make him, not trying to, but allowing him to be the man in his own right, the powerful Black Nubian man that he is, she has to make him out to be a project, because she's not going to do him like she wish mommy didn't do. She's not going to do him like she wish mommy didn't do to daddy.
Wow.
So she takes him in. He's not on his feet. She said, I just need to help him. I got to be there for him. And all of the stuff she, as a little girl, wanted to be for daddy.
Wow. But you know what happens?
And that's funny.
You know what happens, though? Hey, how you doing, Sabrina Westmoreland? God bless you. Thank you for tuning in with us. You know what happens, though? What happens is we are trying to help a need when, or lack, for lack of better words, we're trying to help somebody who's not on their feet, when I believe it's a woman's job to help a purpose. You know, you are to help purpose. And for somebody trying to get on their feet, you will become a hindrance to purpose, because if you don't allow him to, and now correct me if I'm wrong, I honestly believe, no matter what, I don't care how much you love this man, I don't care how much you feel that you can help him, because most women believe, and I believe it comes from a need that you have. Because some women get off on being needed.
Absolutely.
Some women get off on feeling that I can help him. You know, because women are nurturers by nature.
Right.
They're nurturers by nature, and you bring life to any situation. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to nurturing a already grown man, I believe you become a hindrance, because for you to have to put that situation, you know, and actually move him in, then you go. You allow sin to now start taking place, because there's so many things that come beyond or come behind you helping you.
Sin had already been taking place.
Yeah, but because you wouldn't feel that comfortable. Yeah. That's true.
But I wanted to piggyback off of Emma, because it's so true. It's a proven fact that most women pick their fathers.
Absolutely.
Good, bad, or indifferent. And with my first husband, I did not see it at all. I thought they were total opposites until I divorced him. Mm-hmm. And then I started realizing how much he really was like my father.
Wow, yeah.
Didn't realize it.
Wow.
But it's true. It's true. Most women pick their fathers. And me and my father didn't, and you know, until I was an adult, me and my father didn't have a relationship. Mm. But I still ended up picking him. In a spouse.
Yeah. And that's why it's very important for women, when we talk about our children's father, whether he's in the home or not, to the child, that we make sure we don't go against what the word says. The word says, honor your mother and your father, regardless of where they are now. You don't know their story and where they'll end up, and you don't know how you talking about that child's father to them in a negative way affects them. Because like I said, mm-hmm. children love their parents. They love the flaws and all in their parents. Mm-hmm. So when they hear that this is what their parents are, and then the imagination of a child is so very vivid. They're dreamers at that age. And so now they've taken the imagination of who he is based on what the mother said, whether it's toxic or not. And she has created a man.
Yeah. Do you know, I think, too, that's so profound what both of you guys are saying. And I believe not only just for women, but I believe men, too, because I was sharing with my wife earlier. I was like, the relationship that I had with my mother, you know, it was like me and her were friends.
Right.
Even though I know that, you know, we say, yo, you should be your child's friend. But it showed me how to have a relationship with a woman. So what I did was, when I was searching for the woman that I wanted to be with, I was looking for that friendship. And when I didn't get it, I compared it to what I had with my mother. You know what I'm saying? So when my mother passed away, it was like I was looking, I was yearning and desiring that relationship.
Yeah.
And I was looking for that relationship, not just in women, but with just friends and just, you know, friends, period. Like I was looking and desiring that type of friendship. Mm-hmm. So when I lost my mother, you know, when I didn't like being abandoned. I didn't like the abandonment. So what I did was I stayed with women, you know what I'm saying? Because not only was I looking for that type of relationship, but when I didn't see that characteristic that this woman portrayed that didn't remind me of my mother, what I did was, because I didn't want to be abandoned and I didn't want to be alone, I settled and I went after other desires to make sure that I still were getting needs met.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe like that still that relationship, it shapes a lot of our thought patterns when it comes to relationships. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe we got to break that cycle, because what we'll do is now we'll look and we'll put an expectation on relationships instead of being the purposeful purpose that you were designed to be for a relationship.
Yeah.
Instead of looking for the desire of, you know,
to get your needs
met in the relationship.
The needs that God already said, I have given you everything as it pertains to your life and godliness. So I hit you on the natural side and the spiritual side. You got everything you need. So when you go after a man and try to be wifey and try to do everything that you know a wife's supposed to do to be with this man, then what you're doing is you're saying to him, you are going to meet my needs, because it is a need we want met.
Yeah,
we want to feel loved. We want to feel like we're special to somebody. We want to get our intimate needs met and all of that stuff. And what we do is we make them out to be an idol, because we've put them before the original design that God had planned for the wife and the husband. God said, drink from your own cistern. Don't drink from somebody else's well. That's not your water.
That will never run dry.
That's not your water. I thirst. Yes, you are thirsty.
Yeah.
And you will continue to be thirsty until you get with the one that quenches.
Well, there's only one that could quench your thirst.
Exactly. The one that quenches.
Quenches.
Yes.
It's only just one.
Yes. That's right. I thirst. Yes.
Like we said earlier, something is being developed, because now, like she said, you're looking for that desire to be fulfilled in somebody who was never designed to fulfill it.
He came.
And so now there's a lot of void. The void that you're looking to be filled is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because now you're frustrated.
Yes, you are.
Now you feel unappreciated.
Yeah.
Now you wonder why I'm doing all of this and I'm going unrecognized for everything I'm doing.
I'm going unrecognized. He can't see me.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can't see me.
He don't want to see me.
I've been here 10 years and he has not proposed to me. I've been here 3 years. He don't see the good woman I am.
He's still laying back and comfortable in all of the excuses. He, like, you made your bed, you got to lie in it. Yep, he good. He lying in all of these excuses. Man, I've been hurt, man. Man, I don't know what. I love you, but excuses.
So do you think?
And in some cases, he's cheating. And now you feel like, why am I not enough?
But women,
because you're never the one.
But see, you know what? Yeah. Women, a lot of times, okay, look, say what you want. But we know this is true. A lot of times we know that he was a cheater. We know that he was broken. We know that he was trying to fill voids when we got with him. We wanted him, though, because he said we was pretty or he liked us or whatever the case may be. And now all of a sudden you mad because he's being the person he's always been, but you overlooked it because love does cover a multitude of sin. And now you mad because he, the result of who he always was outside of God now. Because inside of God, he knows how to transition and change some things. And he knows how to get that heart restored, renewed, and that mind right. You know, but without God, all of that stuff is going to be dirt. Because he said he breathed the breath of life into Adam, didn't he? But before that, what was he? Just dirt. And we mad because dirt is dirty. So he cheated on you. So he look at other women as they walk by. So he put his hands on you. And none of this stuff is right. But that's the trick. So we fall for the trick because he cute. We fall for the trick because he got some good. We fall for the trick. But what we should be doing.
The trick. Come on here, trick.
What we should be doing is saying, okay, if God made this institution, shouldn't I go to him to find out what a wife is so I could be that?
Oh, but okay, hold on now. Wait a minute. Let's be real here. Let's be, because this is real talk.
Keep it funky.
Let's be real. Now, you said something to me the other day.
Okay.
And I want to bring that up because we got two married women on here. So we can talk about it. They both married.
Okay.
Both of them married. You told me that that part of the relationship is not for the women.
I said it's mainly for the man. Because the way God created a woman. Come on. It's for her. And I can't say it the way we talk. It's for the way she's created, is to bring and consistently bring forth from him seed. So it makes him feel good.
You can understand what you're talking about.
Intimacy.
I can't say it.
Robin.
The way God designed woman is for her to be able to grab hold to life and pull it forth. Okay, I can't say no different than that. Don't make me. So basically what I told him was the it's pleasurable for both of us, but it's mainly pleasing to him. The intimacy and the foreplay is for us. Because that's going to get us to the place where you already are. So now we could both enjoy the ecstasy of this worship.
So that's understanding that, and the reason why I said that, because I want to understand, because this is why we have a whole lot of wifeys and not a lot of wives. Mm. Because what we're doing is we're experiencing that act of bringing to life, mm-hmm. when we're not even supposed to be even at that place of life. We're not even supposed to be there. We were talking. I won't take credit for it because I didn't say it, but I heard somebody say, Mia sent me the clip saying that even that level of intimacy is not, you were supposed to hold yourself, you know, mm-hmm. saying get to know this person, because you wonder why you have long engagements. It's to shut you up. You wonder why you living with somebody who don't even have the plan on marrying you. You know why? Because you've given everything. You've given your whole self. There's nothing else to the relationship. There's nothing else to figure out. There's nothing. You didn't give yourself. And a lot of us give ourselves because what we're looking for, somebody to give us what we feel that we need.
What we feel that we need.
And we don't replace that with the, Robin said something. Thank you, Robin, for tuning in, my homie. What's going on with you, Robin Holmes? She said, we have to stop compromising our value and worth just to be a placeholder. And that is so true.
You know what placeholders do, don't you?
They hold the ball for the kicker to be able to kick the field goal. They get paid just to do that one thing. And that's it. Nothing else during the game. And the crazy part is there's a whole other aspect to the game than just being in the place, to hold the placeholder. You got to run the ball. You got to catch the ball. You got to stop the ball from scoring. You got to use so much other stuff, but your job only did just to hold it in place.
So basically what you just did was gave the men something to think about, because when we said placeholder, we was not thinking about no football. I was like, whoa. But he did hit it. I know he hit it.
He made me think about it too, because as the placeholder, you don't even play the whole game. You only come out if.
That's right. If we need you. If we need you. Whoa. Yes.
If it's emergency situation,
and don't nobody even know your name.
Come on, you done said something right there. That you are only needed in an emergency situation,
right? And I need somewhere to go. Name. We don't even know your number.
I need somewhere to lay my head tonight. You a placeholder? Wow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You a placeholder? Yeah. I need you only in emergency situations. 911.
Right. You know the whole game though. You got to know the whole game because you got to know when you're needed and when to come out. And you okay with that? Because you're getting something that you feel like you need from. You're getting that little piece of check. You're not getting a big check. So while you sitting up here being
sidelines doing this,
sitting on the sidelines waiting your turn to go in.
Come on here.
While the real players are in the game.
Placeholder.
The real players are in the game and you just, oh, come on, sitting on that sideline.
Wishing that you could get in the game.
Stop.
You settled. You took your value and you settled.
And a lot of us give our value.
My goodness.
We give our value in the game when that's not even the game that we supposed to be in.
Oh, my goodness.
We give our value. And a lot of us settle for just minimum wage contracts.
Wow.
We settle for that. And we're more than a placeholder. A lot of us are GMs. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us are people that run the team. But we'll only settle for just being a placeholder.
Dude, you just said a minimum wage contract.
Yeah.
That's why so many people are calling marriage, it's just a contract.
It's just a contract. No. They don't even say that. They say it's just a piece of paper.
But I'm talking about how you just said a minimum wage contract for a placeholder.
Yeah.
So you holding that place just in case he decide one day he want to get married to you. Haven't you showed him enough by now to make him have the ability to make a decision? He done made a decision on 3 different cars since y'all been together, about 2 or 3 different apartments, a house since y'all been together. God knows the shoes and the food, all these decisions he's making, and he hasn't made a decision on you yet.
I'm sorry, I just got a quickening.
Go.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, before you say that, I just got a quickening when Robin put what she put up.
What she put?
She said placeholder equals wifey. Position equals wife. He come him in a Honda.
Come here. That's right. Did you see? What did you see, Zany, y'all?
We're focusing on the wifey.
Uh-huh.
But I literally saw there are some hubbies playing the same position.
Mm. Yes.
That's why some of these women are getting good men that's broken down. Wow. Because he didn't have bad relationship after bad relationship after bad relationship because he kept picking the one that played he was playing hubby to who wasn't ready to be a wifey.
I believe that that's happening now because Patricia. One thing that Satan does, like I said, this is the trick. He turns every beautiful thing that God did upside down. Yes. So now instead of, you know that picture back in the day where they have, I'm going to see if I can get in the screenshot. They have the man holding up the world on his shoulders mm-hmm. and all of that stuff. Now the women are doing this. We the ones that, and
you
weren't
even
there.
Built. You weren't like, even built to do
be
that.
There
you.
Because God didn't, he says we're the weaker vessel, not because we are weak, because we weren't built to carry the weight of the whole marriage, yes. the whole relationship. We wasn't built for that. But a woman, she'll take a stay-at-home dad and go out and make all the money so she can call all the shots so she can be in control because ain't nobody ever going to do me like my mama boyfriends did her.
So, but check this out. I want to go back to what you said, Xenia. Patricia, thank you for tuning in. We miss you. You come in late today, girl, but we love you and we're good.
Hey,
glad
Patricia.
To see you. But check this out. You said most men pick bad relationship after bad relationship. But understand this here.
I didn't say most.
No, I know. No. Most men. You said most men.
She said
I got
some.
You. So even let's even say some.
It's a difference.
But let's deal with that. Why is it that they keep picking bad relationships? The only reason why you keep picking something that you because you don't know what it looks like. So what you because if your eyesight is set on the play, because what it is again, these are placeholders. So we only been introduced to placeholders, then we don't know what it looks like to have real players in the game because we only been around placeholders. So you would never know what a quarterback looks like if your eyes or even if your environment has been only around placeholders.
And you got to know, men also marry their mothers. Bad relationship after bad relationship bad relationship.
But to this,
he may be looking for a better version of his mother.
But,
he love her,
but
what, I need her to be like this and this
that's
and that.
That's true. But what is it though? What is it that we get so complacent that we're not valued enough or not even not looking for somebody to value us? But the fact is that we have to own up to that level of valueism. We have to know our worth to know that we're worth being taken before God and promised to God that I would be taken care of. That I'd be promised to God that I would be loved. Because if you take that promise to God, then you know that love would never change.
Never. It's 100%.
Because now what you do is you invite God into the situation so that you can keep it, so that he can keep it together. Because if we did it ourselves, we would stay wifey because you know why? That love in a situation that has nothing to do with God will always change. It will never be the same because I love you today. I won't love you tomorrow because again, it's when needed. These are the situations when there are emergency situations. I only love you when I need to feel like I need to be loved.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so that's what happens when you don't promise to God, when you don't make that contract to God, when you don't make that covenant with God, you allow a placeholder situation.
You gotta make it with him so he'll teach you what it look like. Cause if he teaches
but let's
you
be honest.
How many self reflect
to allow God to show them?
Not many. That's why they gotta share this podcast. Share it so your friends will know it's time to self reflect. They
it's
didn't know until today. That's right.
Yeah. Because look, you hear all the time, I'm good. It's everybody else. I just don't understand why it's not working. Mm. Because I know I did X, Y, and Z. Mm. I might have did that wrong, but everything else, I was straight.
I know I'm a good woman.
Yeah.
I know I'm a good woman. He gonna miss me with, not really.
Yeah.
So
what happens, that's true. That is so true. But you know what happens? Because when we come out of a bad relationship, instead of learning the lesson from that relationship, what we do is we get into another relationship that reminds us of this relationship. Or what we also do is we never heal from this relationship. Mm-hmm. So we don't learn from it. If you don't heal from it, you don't learn from it.
Nope.
So the thing is, because we don't heal, we go in and we go attach ourselves to the same situation with a whole nother body. So all we're doing is we're switching bodies with the same situation because we have not healed from that situation right. to now go to a whole nother level of learning. Because, again, what we do is we mask and we stay in the same position. So this keeps us in that. And I keep going back to this placeholder because I see so much that comes with it. I see so much that comes with this placeholder, man. You know, and it's our emotions. Yeah. It's our thought patterns. It's our behaviors. It's our cognitive behaviors. It's these things that we have attached to us that keep us only available for emergency situations.
My goodness.
It only keeps us available for emergency situations. When this is a lifetime coming, this is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
This love is a lifestyle. Because what that type of love does, it covers.
Ooh, you preaching.
Love
is a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. Yes. It covers. It covers. It covers a multitude. It loves in spite of. It loves to heal. It loves to set free. It's a whole nother level of love.
Come here.
Back up, Pastor Jane.
My goodness.
Because you said that a person will go from one situation and get in the same situation with a different person.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Because they never healed.
Yeah.
But I believe it goes back further than that. Because what about the situation keep attracting you as the person to that?
Yes.
It's something they're identifying that's drawing them to it.
Yes.
I think like in a certain term, they call it trauma bonding. Like one person have trauma, yeah. another person, they keep attracting each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is it about you that you really need healed that keep attracting you to the same type of person?
No judgment. Because if I'm attracted to you and you just as messed up as me, we're not going to judge each other. If I get with somebody that I feel is better than me, I always feel judged by that person whenever they say something. So if I'm trauma and you trauma and we connect, there's no judgment. However, when that thing go bad, though, it all come out.
See, what you did was we said the same thing so different. The whole point is, and it's like, because you have not healed, what happens is, when I attract somebody who has not healed as well. So what we're attracting is the get together with the thought of healing. But only thing we're doing is we're bringing together two broken people with right. the know-how how to heal.
Right.
And we don't realize that getting caught up with or into a whole nother situation with somebody is not healing.
Right.
That's just connecting to another situation and a whole nother body.
Come here.
You know what I'm saying? So, it's the same situation. You ain't healed, I'm not healed, and that attract. And we always say opposites attract, but I say two broken people attract.
And so now here you are, you cooking every day. He come home, why the dishes ain't clean? And now you wifey, or as you said, Zany, y'all, he hubby. And next thing you know, when it gets to the point where everything starts going bad, now you complaining. Now the first thing you come out your mouth and say, I ain't your mother, or I'm not your wife. You know, so now you complain, and now the attack comes because you've tried everything you could to prove that you was wifey material, and you just couldn't see me. So now I'm starting to resent you or get bitter about the situation, and I'm coming for you now. I'm not your wife. I'm not finna cook for you. I'm not finna do this. And now why you acting different? I'm not acting different, but I was trying to show you something so that you would love me, and you never saw me.
You know what happens too? Oh, going back on that too, because remember we were saying how when two broken people, they come together. Now remember, that person is broken. So if a person is broken, 9 times out of 10, there's a lot of things lacking in their mental, their mm-hmm. physical, their emotion. And these are people that we try to help mm-hmm. because what we do is we see the potential in this person, but we don't see the brokenness. Oof. So we overlook the brokenness and we take them in feeling that we can help this person. And this is what keeps us as wifey, because you can't really, it's not our job to heal a broken person. It's not our job. That's a big responsibility, because only thing we're doing is we could aggravate, agitate the situation or trigger the situation.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So there's certain things come from us connecting at in bonds like that. So the thing is, we got to realize that the only way that we can fix a broken person or fix that situation is don't come in and be wifey. Because this is what happens. We feel being wifey, we are that placeholder to help them be able to not get in the game. But if they have not been doing training before the game was prepared, because how do you play to win the game? You do the training before the game.
Right.
You don't have to train to be a placeholder. Yeah. Because that is the easiest job. But the thing is, that is the most overlooked job because it's only for a certain period of the game.
A small period of the game.
You keep putting images in my head, Pastor Jay. Because when you said that, I literally saw the placeholder holding the ball.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the field goal could be kicked correctly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that the other person gets the glory.
Yeah.
You there to help me win.
Yeah.
You there just to help me win. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because soon as they heal, I promise you, you ain't going to be wifey at that point in time. You're not even going to be wife. And you may not even be wifey.
You're not even going to thank you.
Yeah.
You're not even going to thank you.
And God forbid something happened to either or the other, and death is in, and I'm not trying to call that on nobody, but on that obituary, either you're not going to be named at all, or you're going to be named as, and he leaves behind his special friend. I mean, really, that's what you...
That is not funny, but you're right,
though. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Look, I'm good with being the special friend. We just got news that a friend of ours has transitioned on and gone on to glory. We don't never know. As a matter of fact, this is like, how many in the last month?
Man, I can't... Listen. I don't even want to go on Facebook no more to tell you.
We never know when God is going to... We all have an appointment that we're not going to miss. And so, wouldn't you rather have it right before that time comes and not be listed on the obituary? When they say, okay, all the family come, all the family, mothers, sisters, brothers, wives, mm-hmm. and all that, and you can't come. You in the back, but you was there every day. But you was the one holding him down or her. But you was the one that made sure that everything he needed, even a punching bag, some of us. Not us, thank you, Jesus. I never went through that, hallelujah. But some of us go through even the abnormal use, which is considered abuse, of the person. And then when that time comes, you got to stand back there with all the visitors and stuff. Wow. Because nobody acknowledges you because you were never the wife. Wow. You never demanded, not demanded, that's not a good word. What am I looking for? You never, what's the word I'm looking for? Not requested to be the wife, but you never put it out there to the point where, look, I will no longer
settle. You never demanded it. You got to demand that thing.
I'm about to say demand.
Is it demand?
Yeah, you never demanded.
You never put yourself, your value.
No. Yeah, you demand respect.
You never demanded your respect.
Yeah.
You never said, listen, my value is no longer going to be tarnished by the fact that you feel like that you're not ready. I've been ready. I really do, because some of us lie and say we don't even want it.
Well,
lies. Man. We want it.
Yeah, we want it.
Because that's the first thing God gave Eve, the ability to be chosen by her man.
Yeah. Let me read this
and
comment.
That's funny,
No, go ahead.
I actually saw a talk show like that where the man kept saying he never wanted to be married. So uh-huh. when he got with the female was like, okay, I already knew he never wanted to be married, I was good with it.
Oh, wow.
But then somehow they broke up, and the next person he got with, he married.
Uh-oh.
Wow. And she was hurt.
Wow.
And she said, I just want to know, why is it? You say you never wanted to be married, and I sat there with you for years, and why is it that you married the next person?
Right.
And she said, because I thought I wanted to be married, but when I met her, it was something about her that I wanted to marry.
Mm.
And the person was just, she
crushed.
Was tore up.
Yes.
Yeah. You give like, your well, best why years wasn't I away.
Enough?
Yeah. You were why for the you enough? Were for your guy, but you never yeah. gave for your guy right a chance.
Let me read this comment.
But you played wifey.
Yeah. Right.
Let me
right.
read this comment real quick. Robin Holmes, this girl is a beast. She said, I think men sometimes seek out the women who give the least resistance. Don't hold to a standard. from the beginning of the relationship and don't challenge themselves to meet the standards really good women hold to by not being intimate too soon, not accepting the poor treatment, don't tolerate disrespect, etc. These values, when put forth in the beginning, pose the challenges that some women don't present early on. Real men will welcome and rise to the challenge of the meeting of the standards of good women.
You better say it.
Come on, Robin.
Come on, Robin.
You better say it. I'm going to give you some hearts, Robin, because that was right on.
Evangelist Robin Holmes.
That was right on.
But that is so. But that goes back to what you were saying, because I know somebody who, they used to come to our house in Atlanta, come to our house, and I'd be like, y'all living together, y'all doing everything together. What's up with the marriage ain't number, the piece of paper. We already did. But in my head, I'm already knowing that he ain't trying to wife her. And I really cared about her because that was somebody I grew up with. That was like my little, my big sister.
Big sister, right.
Yo, what's the deal? Why are you, nah, you know, I'm good. He already told me that.
Yeah, I'm straight.
Same thing you said. I'm good. You know, we just, as long as, you know, he know what's up, I know what's up. You know what I mean? We good. I'm like, no, you're not. That's not how you grew up. You're not even putting the standard to that, again, like you guys are saying, for him to rise to that standard. You set it so low. You set the standard so low.
All he had to do was step.
Did not even step up. Just put a shoe on, and y'all, and he was at a place where he was able to stand up in that relationship with you. And that is not. And then again, like you said, got with somebody else, and that relationship went so much further.
And when I say, if she, man, the dopest chick, I'm talking about, she's so down to earth, she will have your side hurting from laughter being around her. She just that type of person. And to settle in that and say, nah, we good. Nah, you really not.
You're not good. You didn't even grow up. But you had a stable home. Your parents were together. You see, so you knew what marriage was.
Yeah.
You knew until you did. Yeah. You had everything around you, man. I mean, your whole family, they was all, you know, they all understood the importance of union.
Which is so ironic, because it's the desire to be chosen, the reason why you do it. But not realizing that doing it the opposite way, setting and raising the standard to make him have to challenge himself to be with you or chase you every now and again, because men are hunters. Let him chase, you know, a little bit. Give him a challenge. And that person would have been chosen more so than doing all of the other stuff, falling for all of this other stuff that you know you're not with, just to be chosen. It's not going to happen that way.
And that's what I was about to say, sis, that from what I know, men love challenges.
Yeah, they do.
So if you don't give them the challenge, if you settle where he is, you're not giving him a reason to grow. And as women, that's what we're supposed to do. Matter of fact, as women and men, we're supposed to cause our spouses, our loved ones to grow, not to be stagnant.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So when you don't give them a challenge or a reason to say, hey, nah, we got to step this up a level. We're going to settle down right here.
Right.
You really are out of position.
Yeah.
You're not causing any growth.
None.
None.
And nobody wants to be stuck.
Patricia said, you ain't getting acknowledged because you a side piece. You a placeholder.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, that's really what, and who wants to be in a relationship where they always nervous about the fact, because it's no commitment and the door is wide open, that this person could choose to be out. They can, and then the next thing you hear is, we ain't married.
Like, what?
Like, clutch my pearls, what?
You ain't married.
We ain't married, what? We ain't together, huh?
But this is the society, I promise you. And it's starting to, you know, and I can't really say that because that is bothering me, but it is bothering me because I know from where I came from, because I know that I was that guy. And to see the society now is actually not different when I was growing up and what I did it myself, because I did it myself. But we're living in a society, in a culture where it is backwards. We have babies first before we get married.
Upside down.
Yeah, so it's backwards. We'll get pregnant. We'll have a baby, and we'll do everything that was designed for the family, for the marriage, and we do all of that without the commitment of marriage. Mm-hmm. So because if we doing these things before the commitment, then what the commit? Why commit when we got everything going?
Right.
Without the commitment, you know what I'm saying? And then some people, I hear some people say this, y'all, and y'all, you know, can chime in. I hear people say that, and they don't say it though, but they really are fearful of that commitment because they say, well, what if it don't work? Some people are scared of failure. Some people thinking, well, if I get into it and I'm not ready for it, it may fail. So we go into it with a level of fear, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Which God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. But the point is, how could you fail at something that was created by the one who never fails?
Ooh.
You know,
that was good.
He never fails. And the thing is, what makes us fail is because we take the things that God uses to build us, we take those and use it and believe it was sent to hurt us. We take those things and look at it as this was going to destroy my marriage. And because we have no backbone, we give up on marriage. Some of us give up on marriages like a car. You trade it in. Once you get tired of it, you go trade that car in and you go get another car. But yeah, that's not what it is. You know, I mean, we got to, you know, long suffering. The fruits of the spirit are missing in this culture today. Not even today, but just in culture, period. You know, it's a broken society. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, you good. Because I remember, and then you know this person I'm talking about. I'm not going to call no names. I'm not going to get too much detail.
Yes.
But I remember her guy said, ain't nothing wrong with our relationship. We got good harmony right now. We walking in harmony. And, you know, the whole point for her is, but what happens when we no longer in harmony? She wasn't saying, she was trying to use me and Pastor Jay to kind of like end the conversation because it was a lot of us having it and we was loud. Everybody was having this conversation. So she was sidebarring little comments that she really wanted to say, but she didn't want to say because she didn't want him to think that the arrangement or what they talk about at home, now all of a sudden she acting funny around everybody else. But really deep down in her heart, that's what she was believing. Like, dog, but what happens when we not in harmony? That's a fear I would not ever want to have. Where,
and you don't even sing.
Where if things no longer go in the right direction that he feels good about, then it's a possibility the relationship no longer going to work. So I'm going to do everything I can to keep us stepping in harmony because he said, as long as we in harmony, we good.
Mm-mm. And like an example that just came in my head, y'all remember when Oprah and Stepman first started coming out in the public because they were dating Oprah made it known that she never wanted to marry him. But Stepman proposed to her several times. And each time she openly said, I'm not getting married ever. And I've always wondered, because at a certain point, like just looking at Stepman, he looked so unhappy at a certain point.
My goodness.
But he finally gave up on proposing and marrying her, but yet and still he stayed. And after that, you didn't see him in the media as often. And I often wondered what happened to him as a man, his desires, because he wanted to marry her. Yeah. He saw her as wife material, but he gave up his desire because she made it clear that she was not marrying him. So I just thought about that because that's a good example of what we're talking about, even though it's the reverse.
Right.
It's the hubby, like I said.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He desired to be married. She did not. And he settled. We don't know why, because he never ever spoke about how he really truly felt. She did all the speaking for him. And that's oftentimes as an example how the wife he plays the role to.
Yeah, true. Check this out. Hold on. This girl, Robin on fire tonight, y'all. I'm sorry.
Fire.
Robin said facts. Another thing is that we are in relationships and not even clear on where we stand. You're saying we're a couple. He's saying we are friends or we're just kicking it. And that's because we done already confused the situation by being intimate.
Right. Oh.
We done confused
that
it.
Part.
We done confused
that
it.
Part.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
We confused the dating and getting data and we done already made it intimate. So we don't know where we are. We didn't put no title on it, but we put a title on it.
Yeah.
We put a title in it instead of on it.
Yeah, wow.
That confuses it.
He made it clear.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know, it's so weird because you will settle for a minimum wage contract with somebody.
Yeah.
And then complain that marriage don't work.
Oh.
How? You didn't even do it the way it was meant to be done, but it don't work? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It works.
Whoa.
It'll work if you work it the way God created it to work. It'll work. Yeah.
Whoa.
But we don't want it. We want to stay in control. honey, please, I give up control if I can have the fruits of my labor, baby. The fruits of my labor are sweet.
Y'all are preaching a purr on tonight.
I talk about juice dripping, the fruits of my labor. See, as a wife, we got to understand that, yes, we're not trying to birth no man. Anyway, we're not trying to birth no man. But when we are a wife, the help that we give makes him better. And what God commanded him to do is cultivate the woman. So if we do that thing the right way, yes, mm-hmm. sometimes it can be laborious. But
yes.
when that tree bears that fruit, the fruit is delicious.
But with the last couple of minutes, I want to just give you just the benefits of when it is done right.
Oh, come on.
Because we talk about it being wrong and we stay, but let's talk about the benefits of it being right. Because the Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor. Yes. Do you understand what that means? I don't care. If you are living upright, I'm a living witness. I got the t-shirt. I got the t-shirt, y'all. But I promise you, when you are doing it the way God has promised, the way God ordained it to be, you don't understand. And we look at blessings as like, oh, we get blessed financially. Or we get, you know, like we look at blessings only financially. You know, but the things is, man, it be so many things that happen in our marriage that only that I can say, and I know it ain't me.
Yeah.
That only God does. Because we are in a position to buy a house with no credit. Only God could do that. Only God.
Because he obtains
with no credit. The dude, we're obtaining businesses and not even spending money. You know what I'm saying? But that's what happens when you are doing it the way God called you to do it.
Yes.
There are things that will happen. I mean, people will just walk by and just bless you. And you know, like, man, you know, I noticed that you have a school that you're trying to open. You know what? I know somebody over here that has a connection with a principal. That. You know what I'm saying? And we think, and it's like, whoa. So God is making the connections so that he can give you the ability to obtain wealth. But again, the connection won't be made unless the connection is made.
Can I put in a shameless plug? Can I put in a shameless plug?
Yes.
You just said that with favor, and we do live in it, that God will have somebody out there in Shiftville say, you know what, you're trying to open a school? I know somebody with a building. Yes, I am the CEO of Impact Player Life Coach Academy, where I life coach youth and young adults through the arts. Yes. So if you anybody has a building they would like to help get us started here in Houston, Texas, yes, let's go. Because I'm ready for God to bless these babies.
But that's what happens.
That's
come on,
where we at with it.
Mia got about 4 or 5 cars parked in her driveway.
Don't do that.
She got about 4 or 5 cars parked. Listen, she got to move one out the way just to get in the one she drives.
God doing it. But don't be dismayed, y'all. Listen.
But that's what happens.
The things that are coming to us, though, we have to say this. They did not come to us until we decided to surrender and be obedient.
Yes.
We had to get out of God's way. Because we think we're doing something, but while we're in God's way, we're accumulating a whole bunch of mess God didn't give us. But before God can give us this good favor that he's given us, he got to take that foolishness out. And sometimes we don't want to let go, and it's according to how hard we fight to keep it. It's going to take a little longer.
But the thing is, too, like, I believe the first thing that we must do is heal. You got to heal.
Absolutely.
What it say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and do what?
Seek
my face. And then what?
You turn.
And then you got to do
turn
what?
From your
you got to turn.
You got to turn.
That turning comes with some healing.
Turn,
that
baby.
Turning comes with some with some mind regulations and some God thoughts now. Turning
from these
triggers.
Ain't we get tired?
We get triggered so easily. And you can't be in a relationship talking about you in covenant with God and you're getting triggered by the thing that the enemy is only using to influence you to stay away from God.
Are you playing with us? No.
You know what I'm saying?
You have to be tired by now.
You got
to
be tired.
Give it up. It's not worth keeping.
Come on, Kimberly Scott. Work. What's up, girl? Move out of his way. Kim. Move out of his way.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Move out of his way.
Get it right. Get it. I say get it right, please, y'all.
Yeah.
If you are in a situationship, if you are in a situation where you got a man living with you or a woman living with you and y'all are not married, it behooves you. We are living, I don't think y'all understand, we are living in the days where you ain't got to be old no more to be called to transition now. I'm seeing young people, yeah. 30, 25. Yeah. My goddaughter was 28 years old.
Yeah.
She was 28 years old. And buried her about a month ago. God is not playing. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hmm. Listen, it is time now to get out of these situationships and live the way God has called, according to the will of God, according to what the word says about marriage, and not play this thing.
Yeah.
We can't be an imposter talking about we are okay. You're not okay when you're living in sin.
Yeah, you're not okay.
You're not okay. You got to have some level of conviction with it. If you're doing it and you don't have a level of conviction, then you need to check your salvation.
Right.
You got to check that.
You're not okay. And the reason why we can say that, because we are living witnesses.
I'm a living witness.
We were not okay.
I was not. I was okay in my mind.
Okay.
But I wasn't okay here.
Yeah.
I wasn't. Yeah. Mm-mm. I wasn't, and I was searching to be okay and going to the wrong places trying to be okay and still doing it wrong because I didn't turn.
And I was a placeholder. I have to admit, I was a placeholder. I was in there cooking food for the whole family.
But you was a placeholder that never came out the game, though.
Uh-oh. Come on. You got a new position in the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the placeholder to the main player.
That's right.
The starter.
That's right.
I'm the one that stand in front with his hands. He the quarterback. I'm the one that he do this to get the ball.
The center. Yeah.
You said the center or that's the center?
The center. That's the center.
That's the center. I'm not a center. I'm a center saved
no,
by
the
grace.
Center. The center. You ain't sinning now, boy. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But
all right,
you got
y'all.
Something to say? You got something to say on that? Mia closing us out?
Because we got to close this thing out.
I just want to say that, you know, as we say the whole show, it starts with us individually. We have to allow God to help us to identify those areas in us that's causing us to choose wrongly or to even act wrongly so that it can be healed.
Absolutely.
So if we remember that, when we hear the most hardest thing that we feel like is not an issue, like you said with that scripture, we got to first humble ourselves.
Come here.
Yeah.
Humble ourselves to hear truth about ourselves that we may not want to listen or see about ourselves.
Yeah.
Then once we humble ourselves and heard it, and then we turn from our wicked ways, then God can heal the land.
Mm-hmm.
Not only God, he'll hear from heaven.
Yeah.
And hear from heaven. And he gonna heal what's in you
that you feel
is broken, that you cannot touch yourself.
That's right.
I don't care
how many people you sleep with. I don't care how many relationships you go through.
That's right.
I don't care how many friendships you get. Can't nothing heal it until you realize and recognize issue by God revealing it
and
allowing him to heal it.
That's right.
Oof, revealing.
Al West, what's up, bro? Love you, man.
And heal it. I'm gonna put that in the chat. Reveal it and heal it, God.
Yes.
Come here.
Let's heal, y'all. Let's heal from this brokenness, man. This time we have to be more intentional with the way we approach broken people. You know what I'm saying? And getting entangled in situations that trigger broken people is not helping them. We're only magnifying what's broken in them, and they're gonna show it. One thing Maya Angelou said in her poem said, "When a person shows you who they are, you believe them." But the point is, when God shows you who he is, we not only believe him, but we need to follow him.
We can trust that.
And you can trust that whatever he says, it settles it. It is so.
And with that being said, y'all, that is our time here on Shift Real Talk. Listen, you ate from the table. Now share.
Yes.
Share.
Share the food.
Share.
Share the food. Share the
food. In Jesus' name. Y'all listen. Same bat channel, same bat place. Next week, we look forward to seeing you and your guests.
That's right.
But until then,
I'm your girl, Lady Free. I'm your boy, Pastor Jay.
And I'm Zania.
Zania!
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.